Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. I'm Father Sean Wilson. Next to me, podcasting with me, is Julia Monin.
Hi, yeah, podcasting. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a verb. Yeah.
Nice.
We're podcasting.
We're podcasting.
And we're podcasters.
Nice.
And we're in the podcast studio.
Yeah. Way to drop people, places, and things, and verbs, and words.
Parts of speech.
Parts of speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Man. I'm hooked on phonics.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's something. It's dumb is what it is.
Oh, how are you, Padre?
I'm doing all right.
What's new in your world?
What is new in my world? Well, since the last time we recorded, what is new? The Lord. We celebrated the resurrection of the Lord yesterday.
Yes.
That's pretty exciting.
Right. This is Monday, February 21st. I had to really think about that.
Yeah.
We celebrate in the church St. Peter Damian's feast day today. Bishop.
Yeah.
No, yeah, bishop and doctor of the church.
Yeah. Hermit, bishop, back to hermit.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Peter.
I get it. I read you, St. Peter Damian. And tomorrow we have a big feast, too, in the church. So this will obviously be released Friday after these feast days. But what are we celebrating in the church tomorrow on the 22nd?
The chair of St. Peter.
Yeah.
The role of the Roman pontiff in the church and Peter's role as the first pope. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
What's the basilica in Rome that has like the chair of St. Peter? What's that one called?
So it's a statue of Peter on his chair in St. Peter's Basilica in Rome.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Should be able to remember that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of big churches there.
There are. And
there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people, places, and things in those different places.
That's accurate. That is absolutely accurate. Mm-hmm. Okay. I do remember the site vividly.
Mm-hmm. Everybody touches his foot, you know, like his, I don't know if it's his right or his left foot is more worn down than the rest of the statue because everybody's touching it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Poor Peter. I don't like people touching my feet. Honestly, I don't think I could tell you the last time somebody touched my foot.
Yeah.
Oh, I dislocated my kneecap and had to go to the doctor, and the doctor had to do some tests, which involved touching my foot.
You sound a lot like Peter, speaking of Peter right now. You sound a lot like Peter right now in his response to the Lord. When the Lord said, I'm going to wash your feet. Yeah. Peter's like, well, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, I am, or you're not clean. And
that's right.
And he said, all right, well, then everything.
Yeah.
Feet, everything.
Rest assured, I will not say that to anybody. Okay, you can touch my feet. And
It is an act of humility
to
not only be the one to wash the feet. I mean, that's one thing, but then to let
somebody wash
your
feet.
To be that vulnerable that you open yourself up to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, shout out St. Peter.
Shout out Pedro.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we should probably shout out to the Lord to start with a prayer, huh?
Sounds great.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we give you thanks for all that you continue to do in our lives. We ask that you may be with all those listening to this podcast, especially those having any sort of difficulty whatsoever, and ask that you may always keep us united in your love and dedicated to the truth. And we entrust this time and to the intercessions of all the angels and saints, especially Pope St. John Paul II and the Blessed Virgin Mary. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We are talking today about living the truth.
Living the truth. It'll set you free.
It'll set you free. Somebody said that once.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. Paragraphs 2464 through 2474. So where are we at in this? What section? And
we're in the catechism.
I don't know why I give you such slow...
I know, there's so much fun.
Toss it in there.
So we're in the third part, which is all about the moral life. You know, we've got the creed, we've got sacraments, we've got the moral life. We're in the moral life. The first half of the moral life is like kind of morality in general, the virtues, sin, grace, all those sorts of things. The second half is the Ten Commandments. We are on the eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Mm. And these commandments, generally, when they're gone through in the catechism, they speak about the commandment positively, like what you ought to do, right? You ought to speak the truth. And then it speaks about negatively, like what you should not do, different ways, sins against the truth. And so we're just all on the positive section about living the truth. And then some other time we'll get to sins against this commandment.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or ways that we can sin against this commandment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So yeah, like you said, eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It was said to the men of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. So this idea of living in the truth, you think, yeah, that makes sense. Of course. I live the truth every day.
Yeah. 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 I try to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So difficult. And mm-hmm. I loved how this, we'll get to where this section ends, but ends on being an authentic witness of the truth, which
yeah.
leads sometimes to martyrdom. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you had to ask somebody, where is martyrdom in the catechism? Mm-hmm. The section on bearing false witness.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
But, sometimes you're not expecting to find things where they are.
Right. Yeah. So. Right. Okay. So this begins in 2464. The eighth commandment forbids misrepresenting the truth in our relations with others. This moral prescription flows from the vocation of the holy people to bear witness to their God, who is the truth and wills the truth. Offenses against the truth express by word or deed a refusal to commit oneself to moral uprightness. They are fundamental infidelities to God. And in this sense, they undermine the foundations of the covenant.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fundamental infidelities.
Yeah.
Because God is truth.
Truth. And if we want to live in him, mm-hmm. we live in the truth also.
Mm-hmm.
So tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
The truth will set you free.
It will. But then it gets into 2465. The Old Testament attests that God is the source of all truth. And I think this gets to, like a fundamental question. Are things true because God says they're true? Or does God recognize things that are true, right? And the answer that this is giving is yes, right? Like, because God says it and God wills it, like, there can be no duplicity in God, right? God could never say something that's not in accord with reality, which is basically what the truth is. The truth is a recognition and even an expression of what is in reality is affirmed, right? And not something, and I guess maybe that's like, I'll just stop there because I'll just start talking circles. But so God, because God is truth and he's the source of all truth, those things always go hand in hand, right? Mm-hmm. God is never going to do anything that's out of touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this like in the saints, right? The saints live in the truth and it actually makes them more human, right? The saints are human beings fully alive. It doesn't make them something other than human. And so the same thing with the truth, because God's grace, God's interaction, he is this, all truth comes from him and it points toward him. So God is the source of all truth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And since God is true, the members of his people, us, are called to live in this truth, right? Okay. In Jesus Christ, the whole of God's truth has been made manifest. Full of grace and truth, he came as the light of the world. He is the truth. Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The disciples of Jesus continues in his word, so as to know the truth that will make you free, that's in John, and that sanctifies. To follow Jesus is to live in the spirit of truth, whom the Father sends in his name and who leads into all the truth. To his disciples, Jesus teaches the unconditional love of truth. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Yeah. I love that teaching of Jesus, that, again, going back to that no duplicity and truth is, right? Truth just is truth, and God is truth, and Jesus comes to manifest that truth. He is the light, right? And light banishes the darkness, cannot remain, and let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, and like this simple way of living in this truth, which gets warped in our psyches and in our how we live our lives, right? Especially just, yeah, from the time we're little people and the way we process the world around us and ultimately how we want to please others and want others to like us or approve us. And so anyway, it's always getting warped in our minds.
It is.
By our own fault and by just the curse of the fall.
Right.
Right. So,
and even, you know, like, even from the very beginning, like Cain and Abel, right? As Cain kills his brother Abel and the Lord comes and kind of approaches him to inquire about it, he just kind of, he's not willing to tell the whole truth to say, like, yeah, I murdered him. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, he's got this tendency to be self-defensive or to kind of hide the truth or to talk his way out of things. And, Mm-hmm. And that's our condition. Mm-hmm. But Christ, of course, gives us the answer, right? This is, in some ways, this is like a remedy for all the struggles we have with the truth. And Christ can be this, right? He can say, let what you simply, what you say be simply yes or no, mm-hmm. because he is the truth, because mm-hmm. he is full of grace and truth, because there is no, absolutely no duplicity in him. There's no lying to people. There's no deceit. There's mm-hmm. none of this.
No manipulation.
Yeah. Right? He's right. not saying things just so people like what they hear. Mm-hmm. And so because he is fully the truth, mm-hmm. he can encourage us to say the truth and actually help us to be more honest mm-hmm. people.
Yeah. And like you said, like the saints, they become more fully human in this. It's not mm-hmm. taking away from our humanity. It's allowing to live in the freedom. Like we talked about, the truth will set you free to yeah. live in the freedom of what it means to be human, mm-hmm. truly. 24:67. What a beautiful paragraph. Man tends by nature toward the truth. So by nature, we tend toward the truth. We are created to live in this truth. We're created by God. We're created to live in this truth. And so we tend toward that. Mm-hmm. And when we're not living in the truth, then things get haywire. Our insides go kind of crazy. We start to kind of malfunction and break down, right? And
sin. Were we robots?
Yes, right. Malfunction. Exactly.
I'm breaking down.
This is not good.
Wires crossed. Does not compute.
All of that.
Yeah.
In a human level, but it does happen because yeah. we tend toward truth, and mm-hmm. and we live in a world where we're obliged to bear witness to that, and when we're not, then something goes haywire inside.
And obliged to seek it, right? Because we tend towards the truth, we can of course deaden that
sure.
part of us and say, you know what, I don't need to worry about that, like all the different ways, like we don't want to face truth. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, like people say, I don't need to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. I'll just confess to God. Okay, well, you have a responsibility to figure out what the truth is. And is it just ourselves trying to take the easy way out and rationalizing those things? So we have this kind of a responsibility, not kind of, a real responsibility, because we're drawn to the truth to fulfill that and mm-hmm. to live in the truth and to seek the truth and to seek clarity in our understanding and allow the wisdom of others, the our own rationality to discover the truth. And that, you know, just there's so many different ways that we have to utilize our intellect and the advice of others and the Holy Spirit in our lives to seek the truth, because since the Lord is the truth, he reveals that to us. He reveals the way to us because he is the truth. So so we have a responsibility to discover that.
Truth as uprightness in human action and speech is called truthfulness, sincerity, or candor. There we go. Phonics, words. I like it. So truth as uprightness is truthfulness, sincerity, or candor. Truth mm-hmm. or truthfulness is the virtue which consists in showing oneself true in deeds and truthful in words and in guarding against duplicity, dissimulation, and hypocrisy. Okay. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That makes common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
This next paragraph. Oh my goodness. I loved it so much.
It hit me like a 2x4 between the eyes.
Yeah. Read it.
All right. Men could not live with one another if there were not mutual confidence that they were being truthful to one another. Mm-hmm. The virtue of truth gives one another his just due. Truthfulness keeps to the just mean between what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. It entails honesty and discretion. In justice, as a matter of honor, one man owes it to another to manifest the truth.
Mm. Men could not live with one another if there were not mutual confidence that they were being truthful to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see why we break down as a society? Because yeah. how many of us have that confidence that we are living in truth? In fact, most of us walk around kind of presuming that I'm being lied to mm-hmm. all the time, right? And trying to weed that out. And so you can see the breakdown of society because we don't have that confidence.
And we assume people have agendas. We mm-hmm. assume they're manipulating, like everybody's mm-hmm. out to benefit themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess just to give a nod to that, there is mm-hmm. there's a whole lot of reasons to mm-hmm. be skeptical. However, if we live our lives being skeptical of everything anybody ever tells us, mm-hmm. whether, you know, it's the church or the media or the government, and granted, there's a lot of duplicity going along, but that seems to just add fuel to the fire,
mm-hmm.
right? That actually just seems to add issues to it. And so sometimes we don't know, but we want to presume good on others
mm-hmm.
that they, and even you think about family members and in our communities, you know, on the most local of levels, to presume others honesty. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, well, that's going to be a real tough, mm-hmm. tough way to go.
Mm-hmm. And not to be naive, right? Right. And the Lord, we learn these things. We can be receptive to that reality. We can kind of even not come in tune, but kind of know when just somebody's yeah. being squirmish or whatever it might be that they might not be. But the scripture tells us to be as gentle as doves and as sly as serpents. Sly as foxes,
yeah,
something serpents. Like that. But this reality to be gentle, to presume the good that mm-hmm. is in everyone, because the good is in everyone. But anyway, this virtue of truth gives another his just due. Ah, yes. All right.
I read a book recently entitled "Live Not by Lies," and so and it was basically like kind of an analysis, and then kind of like bridging the historical gap about the Soviet Union, which it's kind of been a kick. Last year for me. Mm. That basically one of the things the Soviet Union did, the communists did, was they had so many informants that nobody could trust each other because they thought everybody was an informant. Mm. And so you basically, nobody would tell the truth to anybody and it would actually break apart society, mm. break apart family members because you didn't know if the people in your own house were ratting on mm. you, on anything you said that was even said in private. Mm-hmm. So how did that eventually collapse? Was there were a few people that were willing to live not by lies, even to the point of going to the gulag. Mm-hmm. And then when they ever got out, there's a guy by the name of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who basically, along with John Paul II and Ronald Reagan, his work single-handedly brought down, or triple-handedly mm-hmm. brought down the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. So, and that was that. He just spoke the truth at mm-hmm. all times.
So... truthful people willing to stand up the truth, even in the face of this is could
imprisonment
cost yeah, me my death. Life, death, whatever.
Martyrdom.
Right. Which is where we're going here. What about this sentence too, still in this 24:69, truthfulness keeps to the just mean between what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. It entails honesty and discretion, So truthfulness is not just, I'm just going to tell the truth about everybody at every time because I'm supposed to be truth. Like there's also this discretion to know what mm-hmm. ought to be said and what ought not to be said and to know that difference. And I'm reminded of a story of St. Therese, the little flower. And she had a woman in her community, a sister in her community, who just naturally, she was just sort of annoyed by. That's the reality of the situation. They live in a close community and mm-hmm. this one sister kind of annoyed her. She was honest mm-hmm. about that in her story of a soul. But this sister, she didn't tell this sister that, hey, you annoy the crap out of me. Can you please change your behavior?
Here's a little candor for you.
Right. Yeah. She was very discreet in that because she recognized I'm a human and humans are drawn to some people naturally, not drawn to others. And she went out of her way to be kind and loving. And when this woman noticed that, like, why are you so kind to me? Therese didn't, she wasn't dishonest in her response to say, oh, you drive me nuts. And so I'm going out of my way to try to love you more. She was just, I'm happy to see you. And that was truth mm-hmm. because this woman was drawing out virtue in Therese. This woman was challenging Therese in a way that she was happy to see her because it was growing her in virtue and she could see Christ in this woman, even if her human feelings weren't matching with that. And I think that's a beautiful way of what this means too, of honesty and discretion, right? You can be honest in situations without being a jerk
right.
in situations. And it's just about being in tune to that, right? Mm-hmm. And the more we live in the truth that is Christ, the more we grow in the virtues that are truth, the more that becomes aware that there's ways to say and to be true without saying things that don't need to be said,
right?
And without being just hostile when you don't need to be hostile. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you hit on something there about Therese recognizing in this person that she was a child of God, mm-hmm. right? Because that's ultimately the truth of our mm-hmm. identity is mm-hmm. that we're beloved sons and daughters of God. We're mm-hmm. made in his image and likeness. So that's the fundamental truth of who mm-hmm. we are. And part of that, if we're going to be truthful, we're going to be honest and people annoy us and they're frustrating, we have to recognize the bedrock truth is before any bad habits people have is that they're beloved children of God. Mm-hmm. And so part of telling the truth is sometimes reminding people of that. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, you get in those difficult conversations, you say, you know, as a friend that loves you, maybe this is one of the ways you're not living that the best. Mm-hmm. But the fundamental truth is that we're beloved children mm-hmm. of God.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. All right. The disciple of Christ consents to live in the truth, that is, in the simplicity of a life in conformity with the Lord's example, abiding in his truth. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. Okay. All right. So that ends up this first section, which was just living in the truth. And now we go into the second section, which is paragraphs 2471 through 2474, which is to bear witness to this. Mm-hmm. And this is where we talk about martyrdom.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it starts off with Jesus before Pilate.
Sure.
As Christ claims that he comes to bear witness to the truth. And of course, Pilate's reaction, which isn't, I don't think it's mentioned here, is what is truth? Mm-hmm. Right? Like Pilate, who cares? Or like, right. What does this mean? Doesn't somebody get to decide that? But Christ, this is why he came into the world, to bear witness to what is. Mm-hmm. The Father who comes to redeem his people, mm-hmm. And restore him to friendship with him. And well, Pilate just, that doesn't even like compute
right.
to him. But that's what Jesus comes to testify to the truth, even to the point of costing him his, mm-hmm. his life. So he's the first martyr, right? Mm-hmm. The one to blaze this path of martyrdom.
Mm-hmm. The duty of Christians to take part in the life of the church impels them to act as witnesses of the gospel and of the obligations that flow from it. This witness is a transmission of the faith in words and deeds. Witness is an act of justice that establishes the truth or makes it known. Yeah, all Christians, by the example of their lives and the witness of their word, wherever they live, have an obligation to manifest the new man which they have put on in baptism and to reveal the power of the Holy Spirit by whom they were strengthened at confirmation. So we have an obligation to bear witness to the truth living in us, that mm-hmm. we have put on the new person. The right. old has died and the new is living. And so we can't just live our faith underground, right? Yeah. And be willing to bear witness to that reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this might be a long story, but there was a talk that Father Mike Schmitz gave about confirmation. Mm. And basically he tells this whole story about a New England seacoast town that had volunteers that would go out and rescue people who are drowning, right? Like a boat capsized, there was a group of volunteer firemen that would basically go out into rescue people and protect their fellow citizens. And then the long story goes, as time developed, it became a professional group that went out and rescued, you know, like the town hired people who were professionals to go out and rescue. But then sometimes if the seas got too dangerous, the professional group was like, well, no, we can't take that risk on for our employees and all of that. And Father Mike just kind of says, well, look, it was all of these ordinary people who would go out there, who would risk it. And now they've hired it off to somebody else. They say, well, it's their job to go do this. And you understand that situation, mm-hmm. but his point is like, how often we do that in our faith? Mm-hmm. Right? We want the professionals to go out and be the ones to rescue, the ones to go out and bear witness to the truth. And we kind of hire somebody else out to do that. Mm-hmm. When he said, it's actually all of our responsibility to go out and to rescue, mm-hmm. to go out and to save people who need Jesus Christ. And he tells a story much better than I, but mm-hmm. I think it makes sense.
Absolutely. And, yeah. and is convicting in that we can't just say, well, that's your job.
Right.
I remember hearing a story about that too. Like a woman or man who was really just fed up with the church's inability to like serve the poor or some social action and went to the priest to complain about that, right? Why aren't you doing anything? There's poor on your steps every day. Like you should be doing something, basically passing the buck of it's your fault mm-hmm. that this social injustice is taking place. And the priest just answered quite humbly and honestly and said, well, you're a member of the church as well. Not that he was like saying, it's not my job, but it's also your responsibility. Yeah. What can you do to aid right. the situation? And like you said, we're quick to just say, well, that's your job as a member of authority or as a leader in the church or as a staff member of the church or whatever mm-hmm. it might be, but not little old me.
Right.
I'm just here to consume the Lord every week and then I'm going back into my life. Like we're all one mm-hmm. body of Christ and we're all called to live that truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's really the gift of confirmation mm. is giving us the strength to go out and bear witness mm-hmm. in the world, mm. not to be an adult in the faith, not to like complete your initiation. It does do that because it sends you out, mm. right? And so we have to rely on like that's what the Lord wants out of all of us. Mm-hmm. All of us have been confirmed, and to trust in that because sometimes that's a huge step. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know anything. I don't know how to help the poor. I don't know how to care for those around me. Well, the Lord gave you the grace of the Holy Spirit at your confirmation. Mm-hmm. Trust in that, mm-hmm. right? And trust that it'll put people in your life that'll guide mm-hmm. you along the way. So,
and that he'll put you in situations that he does give you the grace to do mm-hmm. it. You know, you might not be in a situation where you're having to defend the faith against, you know, a heretic who knows everything, right? But in simple ways, you might come across someone in the grocery store who needs a kind word and a smile and a just reminder that mm-hmm. God is mercy and God is love, and you can handle that, right? So it's just about to pay attention to the situations God has put you in, not mm-hmm. that he might be putting a Scott Hahn in or something like that, but what has he put you in to give witness to in your own life? So,
and even if there are some of those situations like, oh gosh, I'm in over my head, this, what a great opportunity to learn.
Right.
You know?
Right.
To learn together. We have the catechism.
Right. 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 Okay.
All right. So then we get into martyrdom. Mm-hmm. Martyrdom is the supreme witness given to the truth of faith. It means bearing witness even unto death. Mm-hmm. So the word martyris is Greek, which simply means witness. Mm. So a martyrdom is somebody who witnesses to their death proper. So
he endures death through an act of fortitude. Let me become the food of the beasts through whom it will be given me to reach God. Who said that?
Ignatius of Antioch. Okay, yeah. Ground me like grain in the teeth of a lion.
Mm. Right.
And so martyrdom is so, is so celebrated in the church because it's an imitation of Christ. Mm-hmm. It's somebody whose life and death is aligned to Christ's life and death because he was killed for his witness to the truth. Mm-hmm. And so the martyrs are the great imitators of Christ in doing that. Mm-hmm. So that's why the church is always celebrating the martyrs because they imitate Christ in life and death.
No one has greater love than this than to lay down one's life for one's friends.
True dad.
The truth has painstakingly collected the records of those who preserved it to the end and witnessed to their faith. These are the acts of the martyrs. They form the archives of truth written in letters of blood.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. And then it gives two examples there. Ignatius of Antioch and the martyrdom of Polycarp. Mm. If you just Google the martyrdom of St. Polycarp, there's so many cool things in that, but you see like little, it's like an ancient account. And so there's some allusions to Christ's own martyrdom and like some just like the phraseology. If you know the gospels, you know the story of the death of Christ, like you're like, ooh, they're making connections between Polycarp's martyrdom and the martyrdom of Jesus. Mm. So, and the ancient martyrdom accounts are all wonderful. The account of St. Perpetua and St. Felicity, highly recommend reading that if you get a chance. So,
yeah. Inspiring us, right?
And even present day martyrs, you know, we've got a couple priests in the Archdiocese from Uganda, and the martyrdom of Charles Lwanga and his companions is just a remarkable story. And the martyrs of, there's a book, The Catholic Martyrs of the 20th Century. So, probably the 20th century witnessed the greatest number of martyrs of any century, martyrs for Christ. And that's because it was just an absolute bloodbath, right? We think we've come so far and we're so advanced, but yet we're still murdering each other. Mm. So awesome. Sweet advancement. Right. But so there's this book though. It's quite the read. Mm. All the, you know, like each chapter is a different martyr of the 20th century all over the world, whether it was the Mexican revolutionaries and you know, every continent has its own martyrs for the faith. So it was just a priest who is a native of Oklahoma City was just beatified on his way to being a saint, Blessed Stanley Rother, who basically stood up to the mafia and mafia doesn't like that. Mm. In El Salvador, I think. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Could have been somewhere else, though, but I think it was El Salvador.
So again, this account of martyrdoms and where that is falls in this section on living the truth. Mm-hmm. This is the authentic witness of that, is being willing to die for it, to say, this is truth and you can kill me. Not just even that, you can torture me, but this is truth and I'm willing to die for that. Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah.
And it's the path of all of us, right? Because it's the path of Christ on the cross, that anytime we're going to bear witness to the truth, anytime we're going to try to authentically live the Catholic faith in the world is going to come with the cross. Mm-hmm. And maybe we might not get put to death, but it's going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And And there's all sorts of, like, you know, sometimes we get like the woe is me attitude, right? And like, how come life's so hard? And why is this happening? And I'm trying to do good. Why am I encountering hardships? And then sometimes we can become self-righteous and we can say, yeah, you're all wrong. I'm the martyr here, right? And we get this martyrdom complex. So all we can do is look towards Christ. And in those difficult moments when it is the woe is me, to say, this is just the simple path of following Jesus Christ. And in those times when we get self-righteous and we get a little combative with those who misunderstand us, to pray for those, to pray for them, and to take the cross as humility and as purifying. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
The truth, huh?
All right. That was good. Okay. Truth. Okay. I feel so free up here. I feel so free. Where are we going next, Padre? Where do you want to go? You eyeballing anything on that board?
You know, something did catch my eye.
Yeah?
Yeah. One of the try agains. I always get to throw the dart twice. I didn't hit it, but I hit one that we already did.
You got the biggest eye roll behind your back with that, by the way.
Oh, another one. Wow, how's this happening?
I don't know.
Oh.
It didn't stick.
Didn't stick. We'll try again.
All right, try again.
Oh, my gosh. Nope. I'm just hitting already.
Nope. Done.
There it is. The Eucharist.
Oh, yay.
Its importance in its name.
Yay.
1322 and to 1332. 1322 to 1332.
The Eucharist. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, we spent all last year talking about
the Eucharist.
I did. Just gonna go back. It's gonna be good to go back to it. All right. I'm gonna end with this account of the martyrdom of it was Saint Ignatius of Antioch was the first one there. Okay, we'll do that. Neither the pleasures of the world nor the kingdoms of this age will be of any use to me. It is better for me to die in order to unite myself to Christ Jesus than to reign over the ends of the earth. I seek him who died for us. I desire him who rose for us. My birth is approaching.